Good morning, church. Thank you, Darcy, for the reading. I'll start by asking, which side are you on? This question is one that we are asked about a lot of things. We may not be asked this with these exact words, but we are expected to be on one side or the other on just about anything. We live in a culture where we are encouraged to pick a side in everything, and really in everything. To pick a side from what brand of pop or water we like, what vehicle brand we drive, what kind of phone we use, what sports team we cheer for or cheer against. As it was nice to see those Leafs lose last night. I'm sure there's more of that to come too. Right? But we are encouraged, right, to choose a side, right? And to choose the side and stick with it. When we choose a side, we are then aligned with everyone else that chooses that side. This gives us a sense of community and assurance that we've made the right decision. Because look at all these people that have agreed with me. If so many other people also are making this choice, then I can be comfortable that I've chosen it well. What that means, though, is that you are then against everyone on the other side. And this antagonistic attitude will vary on what you're siding on. But we see... But we see not only the positives of what we choose, but the negatives in the things that we don't choose. Right? So we can be comfortable in the things that we do and think of all how great they are with the decisions that we've made. But at the same time, think about how terrible the other side or other decisions are. And so this type of attitude is encouraged in our culture. Now, sometimes it can be of ultimately unimportant things, like the kind of pop you drink or the food you like. But even some of these less important things, people can get really worked up about and be very antagonistic towards the other side. Right? Like, I can't believe you would drive this, or I can't believe you would choose this, or cheer for them. There must be something wrong with you. I can't believe you would do that. Right? We have this kind of attitude. Now, sometimes there are bigger things that we do pick sides on. Things like politics, or economic status, or social issues. These things can impact our lives a bit more. And many people create strong ties to one side of an issue or the other. What this does is it creates then an us versus them mentality with the people around us. We look at people with certain ideas about them, even though we don't know them, just because they hold a differing viewpoint on something than us. Right? We think because they hold a view on this that they must also be this, or they must like this or not like this. And this is a dangerous way to look at the people around us. It creates division when there's really no need for it. This morning we'll look at how we as Christians can bridge divides through demonstrating the love of Christ. Because of our sin, we all have been separated from God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because of our sin, we've stepped away from what God intends for us. We do the things we do not want to do. Paul in Romans 7, verses 19 through 20, says, for the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin, which dwells in me. We do things we should not do. This causes separation and division with God, but it also causes that with each other. Through Jesus, we see that we can be washed of that sin and be connected back with God. That grace and forgiveness moves with us as we live a life in service to God. That sin no longer separates us from God. Colossians 3, verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." Excuse me. We need to let peace rule our hearts. When we let the peace of Christ rule our hearts, we are united together in Christ as the church, and we're no longer separated by this sinful nature. We need to be seeking peace and unity, not conflict and division. Now, that may seem obvious, but our actions and our words many times show that we cause division. And we need to be really aware of the effects of our actions. We may do things we do not want to do, but it is important to recognize these moments and grow and mature so we don't continue to do that. When we pick sides, we want to seek peace instead of thinking that I am just right and I'm going to stick by that no matter what, no matter what division or separation it might cause. But to seek peace. With the love of Christ in us, then it compels us to act in a certain way. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." When we are in Christ, as we see, we are a new creation, meaning that we now live differently than we did before and differently from those who are not in Christ. We go from self-centeredness to other-centered. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." Sin will breed self-centeredness, and that self-centeredness then causes division. When we only think about what we want, the wants and needs of others are not being met. When we pick a side and say, "I'm only going to serve this side," or "I'm only going to talk to these people or deal with these kinds of people," and not be involved in other things and talk to others, we separate ourselves and cause division. Paul does say that we will look out for ourselves. But it can't be all about us, right? We do look out for ourselves. We make sure that we get enough to eat and get enough to sleep and have our basic needs taken care of. But our selfish nature compels us to make sure we get what we want first. And this is what Paul warns of. To act in humility, and to look out to the interests of others, not just our own. We look to make sure what we get first, and that's not the way it is to be. We have to have transformed hearts, looking out for others, not ourselves. We see the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and we can examine ourselves to see if we are living up to these qualities. These qualities, when used, can break down barriers and disagreements. Love, patience, kindness goes a long way in dealing with someone we disagree with. The song this morning that we sang with the kids, right? Whenever we're in trouble, smile. A smile goes a long way when talking with people. When we're in trouble, the song says we pray, and we'll get to that, and that makes such a big difference. And to sing, be joyful when we are dealing with other people, especially people that we disagree with, to act in these ways, these better ways that we are called to be. Without showing these qualities, people will become defensive and argumentative, fighting to make their point instead of discussing their point in an appropriate way. And it's also important to show empathy when dealing with other people. Romans 12, verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." We are usually unaware at the circumstances that someone has gone through or is currently going through, what their background was and the baggage that they may bring with them. And so we need to listen more than talk. When learning about what people think and why they do what they do, being understanding and empathetic towards them, not dismissive and judging, not hearing what they have to say, but at the same time thinking in your head all the arguments that you're going to use against what they're saying. But just to listen, to learn, to see who they really are, to see why they think the way they do, and to truly understand them and come to them with this transformed heart. The heart that can lead to unity, not to division because you're different than I am or you believe something different than me, and I want to prove to you that you're wrong. But a transformed heart that seeks peace and humility and unity. So we need to look for opportunities. Opportunities to break down divides and barriers. And we can do this by showing practical love. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." This challenges the us versus them idea and connects us to those we have a hard time dealing with. It changes the way we see people when we pray for them. Now, we may not have people that we consider enemies and label them that way, but you're probably able to think of some people that you don't really get along with all that well, that you have disagreements over a number of things. It can be helpful to identify who these are in our lives so that we can make an extra effort to pray for them, to show love for them. This will improve our attitude when we do deal with them. Rather than avoiding them when they're coming close to us, I don't want to talk to him right now. I know what he's going to say about this. Right? We need to improve our attitude right? Rather than avoiding them or wanting to fight with them. Oh, good, he's coming. He's going to have this issue, and I'm ready. I've got my everything loaded to show him how wrong he is and how right I am. And we're ready for a fight every time you see that person. That is not the attitude that we seek either. It is important for us to go out into the world and deal with all kinds of different people. When we neglect to do that, we create an echo chamber where we only hear thoughts and opinions from others that are like us. We create a bubble in our lives and only have meaningful discussions with people we already know agree with us. Technology has made this easy, where we can find people either in our community or around the world that agree with us on anything that we want to find. We can find a group of people and we can be in contact with them and talk about how we're all right by holding this position. But we need to be out in the world talking with people that have differing opinions and differing takes on the world. When we only have this bubble in our lives, it makes it difficult when we eventually do meet with someone with differing thoughts. And we struggle with how to deal with them because we only know how to talk to people that we agree with. They may act so different from the people that you're used to, and you're taken aback at the things they say or think. And it seems foreign to you that anyone could possibly think this way. How ridiculous could you be to think this or to do this? Right? We think we are all logical in the way that we think. And if somebody doesn't think that way, you say, how could they think that like that? But it is good for us to be around people like that, to learn from them and love them. We need to be aware of how our words and actions affect someone. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We need to use words that build up, not tear down, even intense disagreements. When looking for practical love, we can look for acts of service, like helping a neighbor in need, welcoming new people to our community, and so on. James gives good advice at the beginning of his letter. In verse 19, he says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. This is a great way to go when dealing with people, and especially with people we find difficult. We can start to impose our thoughts as the only right thoughts to people right away and not hear them at all. And it's crucial with people we've just met or don't know very well to find out more about them and be patient, making sure that we do not create divisions before they even get to know us. That if we all acted in this way, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to be angry, if we all acted like that when talking with other people, we'd have much better conversations. So when we look at the things that we've chosen and we continue to choose, it's not wrong to have a preference with things we like. We all like certain things. We can choose a side and feel strongly that we're making the right choice. If we felt it was the wrong choice, we'd probably change our decision. But we tend to think that the choice we have made is the right one. And it may ultimately be the right one. And someone else may be wrong. There's lots of times when this is true. There's also times, though, when we are wrong. And when that happens, it can be difficult for us to accept it. When we have committed to something and then we see that is wrong, it can be hard to admit and change. It can be easier to just dig in, be more stubborn on the issue than we were before. Because of our sinful nature, we are divided people in this world. We act in selfish ways that cause us to lift ourselves up and our opinions and takes and put others down. And this happens in the world, and it also happens in the church. And it can be very destructive. We want to seek to be united together, not causing division. We need to stand up for the truth and show the world the truth without compromise. But do this in a way that unites, not in a way that puts others down, that makes them feel terrible. But we are bringing them Christ, who is loving and caring and kind. And that's the message we need to bring. When we bring them the gospel and bring it to them to say, because you're wrong in so many ways, you need this. Or because we love you and care for you, I want to show you Christ. We want to seek to be united. We need to realize as Christians, we are a new creation. We're not like ones who do not have Christ. We have the Spirit within us, guiding us, directing us. That we are light to the world. That we are to be more loving than the world. We need to transform our hearts and show love to people, even the ones, and especially the ones, that we strongly disagree with. When we find ways to have difficult conversations in loving ways, that is noticeable by the world. When they see us not complaining and arguing over so many things, they see us as different. So many people push their own thoughts onto others and tear down any thoughts that are contrary to what they believe. We want to build up and not tear down. We want to be in conversations, whether it's at the coffee shop or Sills or wherever we might be meeting people, at the golf course or pickleball or wherever you may be, and having loving discussions with them. Not complaining about everything that's wrong with everything around us and arguing with each other that we should be doing this and not this and this person's terrible and this decision was awful. That's not the attitude that we are called to have. We may feel strongly about certain choices that we've made. Even feel strongly on smaller issues like the vehicle we drive or the sports team we cheer for. But when those choices are causing divisions, we need to be mindful of it and show love and grace. We live in a culture encouraging us to choose a side on everything. And we need to remember what is truly important. Matthew 22, verses 36 and 39. They asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In whatever way we view certain issues and certain people, we need to remember to love God with all that we are and love each other likewise. I'm going to close this morning with our reading again that Darcy gave us before the lesson. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. When we live by this standard, we can make more of an impact on the world than we can possibly imagine. Thank you.